Welcome to the Holy Hot Mess Podcast. I'm your host, Heather, and this is the podcast where we strive for holiness even when everything in the world and our personal lives can feel like it's a massive hot mess. From deep theological chats to simple practical advice, we talk about it all here, all in hopes that we can encourage each other to keep our eyes, hearts, and minds set on heaven.
Hey, friend, welcome. I'm really excited to record this episode because this is the first time in like the beginning of this podcast that I am really like recording alone, me time. We put the kids, well, three of the four kids in school. The other kid has a little friend who had a half day, and so they have a play date. And I'm just here talking by myself, which kind of feels weird and crazy. Maybe I'll do a little update. You can check my Instagram about, you know, why we decided to put the kids in school. We're only 3 days in and it's quite the adjustment. We're doing okay. We're following the Lord's lead. Anyway, so I'm excited about this episode for a few reasons. One, guys, we have our first official sponsor. Like, I feel like we did it, ladies. We did it. We're like taking this thing to the next level, letting God provide, but like walking the paths we're supposed to. I am going to roll that ad in just a second, but we're talking about tips and tricks and like practical advice for taking your little humans to Mass. And maybe you don't have little humans anymore. I still want you to listen because if I don't cover something, I want you to like email me or DM me something. And I'm going to compile like a list of all the things that more experienced moms have found that keep the little ones occupied, but also not just like Cheerios, you know, so they're actually getting something a little bit, their little hearts are getting something out of Mass. So here we go. So our sponsor for today, the first official sponsor, I'm so excited, is the Little Rose Shop. They make faith tangible for moms and their kids with their fun, interactive, and intentional products. You can explore their best-selling kids line of quiet books featuring the Mass, Rosary, and the Where is Jesus editions, perfect for itty-bitty little ones during adoration or Mass. These interactive books instill a love for God from the very start of their experience with Mass, without frustrating mom and dad with anything that's noisy. This company is operated by Catholic moms juggling snacks and diaper changes. The Little Rose Shop gets it. They understand that Mass is not easy with little people in tow, and they strive to innovate practical products that actually help you and your kids live out the faith. You can visit thelittleroseshop.com and bring faith and fun to your kiddos with the code HOLY15 for a 15% discount. All of my listeners, I have all of the details in this week's show notes, on the blog, in the email, and on Instagram. So please go support them. You're supporting the pod. You're helping kiddos grow in the faith and encouraging parents to get to Mass, because I know when I had little ones, I had that little voice in my ear all the time saying, oh, well, you don't really need to go this week. It's hard. It's not, you know, this is not enjoyable. This would have made it great to have little itty bitty hands quietly busy so that I could get my prayer on. Okay, so first things first, just talking about taking little people to Mass, and we know we're supposed to, right? I want to even say there's like a dispensation for parents or mothers of little people to not go to Mass because you have little humans. And I will say that it is worth the fight that it can be sometimes, like the spiritual battle, you know, because how many times have you just thought like, oh, I have to get all these little people dressed and ready and wear all the stupid shoes. And now I got to go sit with them through Mass. I don't even get anything out of Mass. Like, this is frustrating. Okay. First, I've been there. So I'm speaking from a place of somebody who's been there, not a place of judgment. Really, you're not going to find a lot of judgment here on this podcast ever. It's normally like, hey, I learned this the hard way. Little backstory. I had one kid at the time and my husband was deployed. And I was really a picky, choosy Catholic. I was going when I wanted to go. I was skimping out on holy days of obligation. I had really just returned to the sacrament of confession for the first time in like 9 years by the time this happens. So we're going to this big, beautiful cathedral. My son was 9 months to a year and 3 months during this deployment. And I told myself it's 26 weeks of a deployment, so I'm going to count Sundays. I'm going to force myself to go to Mass every Sunday. You should be going to Mass every Sunday regardless. You shouldn't need a deployment to have you focus on that and adhere to that quote-unquote rule that we have in our church, which is just something that we should adhere to. Anyways, I'm like, I'm going to count these 20. That's the dog again. I'm sorry. I just took him for a walk and he's huffing and puffing. And I guess me talking, he was annoyed. So he just got up and flopped over somewhere else in the room. Back to the story. Deciding to count these 26 Sundays until my husband gets back from his first deployment. And in counting those 26 Sundays, that means I wasn't going to allow myself to be slacky and not go when I didn't feel like it. So I'm at Mass one day. I'm in this big, beautiful cathedral, and I'm in the back because I have a little person, right? Like a wiggly little human who's standing up on the pews and crawling around and grabbing things, and I'm feeding him Cheerios and I'm feeding him goldfish, and he's got, not gummies probably at that age, but you get the idea, doing anything to occupy him. And he was squirming and squealing, and I was so frustrated that as I'm literally cleaning up his massive mess that he made, the priest processes out and he sees me. And afterwards, as I'm walking out, and I have tears in my eyes, and they're not really sad tears. They were like ticked tears, right, at this 10-month-old. And the priest was like, are you okay? What's going on? And this is a priest who, if anybody knows the priest at the cathedral in Shreveport, Louisiana, he is not the most personable. He's brilliant, but he's not like warm and fuzzy. And he basically said, what's going on? And I said, I don't even know why I come. I don't even know why I come. I'm so frustrated. I didn't hear anything. I heard none of the readings. I heard none of the homily. I get nothing out of this. Why do I even come? And he looked me square in the eyes and said, well, first of all, it's not about you. And I was like, So I'm going to tell you that fast forward 2 years before I even knew that Jesus was truly present, like his actual body, blood, soul, divinity actually exists in that Eucharist. So I was still attacking Mass as if it's a symbol and treating it as if I don't feel something, nothing's happening, right? And the way that this priest very sternly told me that it's not about me, it's about God and instilling the mustard seeds of faith in that kid. That really changed my perspective on it. I wish I would have known about the true presence of the Eucharist then, because then it makes it like, it doesn't matter if I hear or understand anything. And believe me, living in Spain, I don't understand pretty much anything. We read the readings in English because I bring my Every Sacred Sunday journal. But other than that, I'm not quote unquote getting anything intellectual out of Mass, you know? And so I can understand how people, if they're so frustrated like I was, and you don't feel anything, there's not this physical, tangible movement of your soul, then it's like, yeah, why am I doing this? This is a pain. I'm here to tell you right now, you are doing this because your soul is worth it and their soul is worth it. Our number one mission field, like I struggle with this all the time. So I want to be on Instagram and I want to find community. And I think, oh, well, I have my podcast and maybe I can help bring people closer to Christ and all these things. But in reality, the number one mission field anyone, all of us have, is to help evangelize the people in our own homes. And if you don't show those kids that Mass is important, then the world is going to tell them that it's not. Now we're at this point where we know we should go to Mass. We need to get there. That's our obligation. But practically, how do you make this not a miserable experience? This is what we're talking about, right? Because you can look up any article anywhere that tells you why you should be going to Mass and what happens at Mass and how to understand it and blah, 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 blah. But if you are not doing things to help practically make this a better experience for everyone, it's going to be really easy to do the things where, you know, where some days we're like, oh, I have a headache. Oh, well, the kids do have a little bit of sniffles when you know that it's allergies, but you're just like, maybe we won't go today, right? So I've got big old list of things. If you want to get like the comprehensive list of how to help kiddos in Mass, I've got a little email that you can get that'll give you literally all of my notes that I wrote. So I'll have links and stuff in the show notes, but if you want to get this like in depth, I'll have pictures and all those things, then you can have that. Just head to the show notes and the link will be in there to get that email. So here's our practical tips. Number one, you have to prep the night before. You have to. And I know that since I have started doing this, which has probably been about 4 or 5 years, it changes the way mass is. When I was a photographer, I struggled with this family one time who came to me, and they were very clearly all really ticked off at each other. Then I took their family pictures, and they were snarky and ticked off at each other the entire time. They all looked beautiful. But when I gave them the pictures later, the mom didn't like them. She hated them. And I had to be like, composition-wise, they're beautiful. Lighting-wise, they're beautiful. Posing-wise, they're beautiful. Like, you guys are good-looking people. Your clothes look great. No one's hair is, like, in their face. You know, like, the pictures are fine. I realized the issue was that her mindset around the pictures was not good already because their experience with it was miserable. And then the pictures were a visual representation of the misery that it was for the hours ahead of time where they're yelling at each other to get dressed and find your shoes and iron pants and whatever. You are taking that same energy into mass when you don't do everything you can possibly do, everything, the night before. So make a huge list of like, okay, what are the things we have to do to get ready for mass? Shoes, socks or tights or whatever, dresses, hair stuff, even making sure you're planning or even making breakfast ahead of time. You know, maybe Saturday morning you make pancakes and you make extra so that there's tons on Sunday and you can just heat those up. You have to do anything to eliminate any of these like super frazzled frustrations that are sabotaging the good behavior at mass, both your behavior and the kids. And I realized my mindset going into mass was 90% of the problem most of the time. You know, get your stuff, toothpaste, brush your hair, whatever. So what we do is the night before, we make it a little self-care Saturday. And I have 3 girls, so I try to really instill that with them. And we trim their nails. A lot of times we'll paint their nails. Sometimes we'll do like a little hair mask, or they'll take a bath. Like, we make it this relaxing thing, right? But we're also emphasizing the fact that mass is really important because we're getting dolled up for Jesus. And there is also something about that mindset, both the mindset of not going in there ticked and just absolutely miserable, but also the mindset of like, we get to do this and it's special. So for my little girls and myself, we always wear dresses. It's up to you, right? But we make it special by like, these are clothes we do not wear normally. I am so excited to talk today about our first ever official sponsor of the podcast. And if you've ever been horrified by some sort of embarrassing outburst that a toddler or a small human has had during a completely silent moment at mass, please know that I have been there with you. I even had a child punch an old lady in church one time. You're going to love what the Little Rose Shop has for you today. Their mission at the Little Rose Shop is to bring faith into everyday life through intentionally designed products, both practical and beautiful, with amazing best-selling kits. The Quiet Book series includes the Mass Quiet Book, Rosary Quiet Book, and the latest thing they've released is the Where is Jesus Quiet Book. The books are quiet enough to bring to Mass. You're not going to get any glares if these books get dropped or thrown or when the kids start to try ripping them apart, and they're engaging enough, they ensure that you'll get at least a few minutes of peace at Mass to pray and focus a little bit on why we're there. The intentional interactive designs bring faith right to an age-appropriate level for these kids, and you're going to love looking for baby Jesus in Mary's tummy, elevating the Eucharist, when the priest does, all while the kids are learning the faith and keeping little busy hands quiet. For all of my Holy Hot Mess shouties, we have an exclusive promo code HOLY15 that you can use at checkout for a 15% discount on all the items at thelittlerosehop.com. And if you have babies, if you have godchildren, if you have nieces and nephews, and you just want to encourage mom and dad to go to mass and make sure that they're upholding our obligations, but it is not the easiest with little wiggly people, go support the podcast, thelittlerosehop.com. Use that 15% off discount, which is HOLY15, and then you're supporting the pod, growing kids in the faith, and keeping parents having a little bit of peace heading to Mass every Sunday. Another thing we really, really have done lately, I'd say probably in the last 3 to 4 months is really trying to cultivate Sabbath rest on Sunday to make the whole day special. And so I try to hustle on Saturday to prep all these things, get things clean, so that Sunday I don't have chores and stuff I've put off until the weekend and getting ready for Mass and getting everybody to Mass and trying to like get, quote unquote, get something out of this. Things we prep the night before. I prep everyone's Mass bags, which includes mine, and I'm going to tell you what's in my Mass bag soon. Just a yibbit. Shoes, clothes, the hair stuff, the breakfast, make sure that the car's cleaned out. I get the Mass bags in the car. Well, we now live right next to the capilla that we go to, so we just walk to Mass now, which is really like so adorable, but getting distracted. So I just try to do everything that I possibly can, including showering the kids the night before, cutting toenails, doing whatever. Sometimes I'll even like blow dry their hair so they feel fancy, but that all happens the night before. Now, what I put in the Mass bag is my friend Rachel. She has a little Etsy business, and years ago, she offered these adorable like hand tie-dyed little bags, canvas totes, and she hand embroidered Jesus Loves Me or Jesus Loves You in them. They're so sweet. I got one in all the kids' colors, so the four colors that each kid is assigned, because we assign our kids colors because that makes my life easier. I then know whose cup has been left outside. It works for us. In these Mass bags, we have Catholic books about Mass or the Eucharist or the ABCs of the Catholic faith or whatever. We use Magnificat. I'm going to be totally honest here. I'm struggling with Magnificat because it's in English, so my kids have no clue. Like, it's not like they can follow along with the Mass. Adding to that, it has like cartoons and like a little maze or little activities or word searches, which are fine, but my kids are not paying attention. And now that they're getting older, they're not paying attention to the order of the Mass, to learning the prayers and things and the responses in Spanish. So I'm a little bit struggling with that. I like Magnificat for the fact that they're trying to like keep kids occupied in Mass. It's got the readings, they can follow along, if they can read. But the problem is, I want them to be able to sit there and be self-reflective and be okay in silence and just in prayer. So I'm struggling a little bit with that. But for right now, we have the yearly subscription, so we're bringing them. I have my Every Sacred Sunday and my husband's, which are just Mass journals that have the readings for each Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation. That helps because I don't read Spanish. I will say I have been I've been reading the readings ahead of time, 1, 2, 3 times, trying to do a little Lectio Divina. Oh, I'm going to do an episode on that. I read the Every Sacred Sunday readings, just the Mass readings, every Saturday night, Sunday morning, and I really try to absorb them. And then I try to listen in Spanish so that I can try to comprehend my Spanish a little bit. I was using Google Translate for the homily, and I'm just trying to gather what the priest is saying. Now my Spanish is getting a little better. I don't have much vocabulary to talk back, but I'm at least like gathering kind of the message. But I have those two, the Magnificats, some Catholic books. We've had poppers, like I've kept poppers in the, not ones that make like a lot of noise, just super cheap ones, but I know they make Catholic ones, which is cool. Rosaries, there's things like Choose Life rosaries, like the silicone rosaries that don't make noise. That's what I would keep for babies to put in their mouth. I think the most important thing about these Mass bags is to keep things in there that otherwise they can't play with. So our sponsor today, which you've already heard from, actually has like these quiet books, and they're completely made out of fabric, little books where like the hand does the sign, you move the little hand to make the person do the sign of the cross, and you lift up the priest's hands when he has the Eucharist in them. They are so quiet, but if you make sure that they are only being used at Mass, then it's something new and exciting and special. If it's just something you throw in your purse, but the kid gets to use this any other time of the day, it removes that novelty from it. And I think that's a big part of keeping their attention, is Mass needs to be presented as something that is a privilege, something we get prepared for, that we're excited to do, that mommy and daddy have good attitudes going into Mass, and that it's like new, right? It's got like this little bit of this is a different thing we get to do. So that's why I think something like the Little Rose shops, quiet books would just be great, probably even for somebody up to 7 years old. We got pretty strict around mass behavior once they were prepping for First Holy Communion, and definitely once they got First Holy Communion. So they can't, during the readings, they can, you know, doodle or use that. We have, what are they called? Like doodle pads, those LCD tablets. We have those that we just keep in the mass bag so they don't use otherwise. But something that's special that they get to use, but I didn't want to allow kids who are able to use the Eucharist, to receive the Eucharist, to just like doodle all of mass. So if we're sitting down, they're allowed to, if it's during like the readings and such, or before mass. But once the Eucharistic liturgy happens, everything goes away. Those mass books, I think, would probably be fine. Or the Magnificat subscription, so they can follow along with the mass if it's not in Spanish. But yeah, as long as something was Catholic or a little Catholic book, but I don't let them, once the Eucharistic liturgy, I kind of take that principle of everything is new and special and a privilege into even the liturgy. Like, okay, this is the main act, right? Yeah, so we got our mass bags. Another big thing we do is we prep that mindset, like I said, before mass. And that mindset prep is we try to read the readings as a family. We make sure that we read our Every Sacred Sunday journals, and I have the Magnificat. So I've been reading like the reflections on the Sunday readings. I will listen to a homily by Father Mike Schmitz on the Hallow app. There's also Hallow Kids Mass Prep. And I try to do that stuff before mass. That way everything is a refresher in mass. Like nothing seems new. They're kind of like getting it reinforced at mass when they hear readings or whatever. We also, on the way to mass, as well as just when we're in the car sometimes, I'll be like, hey, what's our behavior at mass? What do we do? Where are we supposed to, are we ever supposed to turn our back to Jesus? And what do you do when you first walk into a church? Oh, you find the tabernacle and the sanctuary candle and you genuflect to it. Okay. And, you know, even things like, what does genuflecting mean? Oh, it means to bend the knee. And who can say, you know, we say every night before we bread, we say a glory be and our Father and a Hail Mary. And then we go on family rosary walks where we're saying Hail Marys, our Fathers, and, you know, just the basic prayers so that they can follow along. And we really encourage them, like, okay, this is what we say at mass. These are the expectations. We expect that we dress well and that we look forward really to this privilege that we have.
Once you actually get to the church, one of the best pieces of advice I ever received was from a mom of like 9 kids. Wisdom, like, she had her boys were altar servers, her girls, like, they had nothing in their hands. They were not distracted. They all had great mass behavior. And I was like, how do you do it? Like, I have 1 or 2 at the time. Like, what do you do? And she said, sit in the front row. And I know nobody wants to hear that, because then everybody can see your kids acting a fool. But she said to sit in the front row because they can see. And that was a game changer for us. When I started getting just the guts to go sit in the front row, then my kids could see what the priest was doing, even at a year old, right? The priest is wearing green and purple. You can point out candles, and if they get squirrely, you can say, how many candles are on the altar? Wow, do you see Jesus? Where is Mary? Where is Joseph? Are there flowers up there? You know, how many petals does that flower have? Like, you can ask questions to engage them and say, oh, now look, now it's the time that the lector gets up and reads. And now, do you see the priest is getting the gospels and he's going to read it, or he's blessing the deacon to allow him to read the gospels? That allows the kids to be engaged. And what I realized was, when we sat even a couple rows back, my kids are so small. Most kids are so small until they're teenagers, really, that you are taking them, confining them into a pew with monotone voices doing monotone things. There's nothing flashy really happening at a Catholic mass. And they're staring at the back of old people's heads. And then we wonder why these kids are squirrely and, you know, moving around and struggling. And then we're getting frustrated about their behavior because we can't focus. When in reality, if you put me in a cardboard box and put on monotone stuff that I don't really understand, and then after 3 minutes, I'm like squirming to get out, like that would make complete sense, right? So you get those babies up at the front, and I don't know how your priest is at church. I am aware that there are some priests and some parishes that do not make families feel welcome. And I want to discourage you from just leaving. Like, don't leave and go to another church. You know, that's a whole thing. But the point of parishes is that we're supposed to be a part of the parish near where we live. You know, we shouldn't really be driving, just picking and choosing parishes based on the priest that makes us feel good or whatever. We're supposed to integrate into that community and make that community better. Say something. Say, you know, it's really hard for me and my young kids that we don't feel welcome here. But I will say, we had a priest in New York, and he's just a lovely grandpa human. He fathered us so well, sometimes telling us like it is. But he used to say at the end of Mass, you know, if your kids are being crazy and you feel like you need to leave, then that's fine. Go ahead and leave, but the kids stay here. And he would also, I mean, at one point my son like ran up to him at the end of Mass, and I have a picture of Father Murray just standing at the front of the church holding his hand as he's doing like the final blessing. And he didn't like shush this kid back, you know? He welcomed these little ones with such open arms and made us parents feel so welcome that it removed a lot of the burden. Because a lot of the burden is, what do other people think about me when my kids misbehave or don't behave how I think they should? And we have got to get rid of that, because that's vanity. It doesn't matter what the old grumpy person, you know, two pews in front thinks about your squealing baby. It doesn't matter. It matters what God thinks. And God welcomes these little tiny humans. And having a priest affirm that was really, really awesome to hear. Our priests in Louisiana were the same way. They would always say, you know, a noisy church is a lively church, is a growing church. And especially when those noisy voices are little kids, that means the church is not dying. A quiet church means that our church is dying. And we believe that nothing will harm our church ultimately, even if it's dwindled down to just a few people. But we really have to cultivate that sense of like this, the squeals and the squeaks and the wiggly little kids are not a burden to other people's spiritual life. And in reality, if it is, then your spiritual life needs some work, you know? And another thing Father Murray would say is, there was one time at Mass where a woman had quite a few kids, and we were in basically like an army town in New York. And there was a lot of deployments and a lot of solo parenting, and those army deployments are long. And this woman was struggling. She had her, you know, 5 or 6 kids in the pew with her, and she was very clearly struggling. And he was right about to start the Eucharistic liturgy, and he stopped and he said, "Don't you all see her struggling? You all see her. Somebody get up and help her. She has 5 kids or 6 kids and she is alone. Be her community and help her." And all these people got up and started grabbing babies and feeding babies. And, you know, someone started bouncing a toddler around, and that's really needed. So if you're a more experienced mom now and you see those moms struggling or the parents struggling, and you have something in your bag that you can hand to the baby in front of you, or you can wave at the baby, or, you know, quiet clap with the toddler, or if you bring books or something that are Catholic, Christian in nature for your kids, but your kids are behaving, pass that book up to another mom. Like, those olive branches that you can extend to make someone else feel welcome and to shed some of that vanity of, my kids are misbehaving, that's a reflection on me and my parenting, and therefore I'm not a good Christian because I can't keep my kids quiet like this lady over here. That is vanity, and that is pride, and we have got to squash that. But putting aside that pride and putting aside that vanity and bringing those little people to Christ as close as you can possibly get to that altar so that they can actually see what's going on, that is life-changing. And just today I was telling my son, you know, you don't have to do it, but I'll tell you, if they ever ask you to be an altar server, man, that would make my heart swell. And my son said, and it just like filled me with such joy, but he said, Mom, you want to know why I don't want to do it? And I was like, why? You know, are you embarrassed? You know, I'm going to be up there. And he said, I don't feel worthy to be up there at that altar. And I said, buddy, those people who don't feel worthy are the people who need to be up at the altar. It's good that you don't feel worthy. We should not feel like we deserve this or whatever. And I will tell you that because he, since he was a year old, has sat pretty much front row to this marriage supper of the Lamb, like his little soul gets it. And I don't think you can get it if you have a backseat view of this world-altering miracle that's happening. It's the mystery is removed because you're not even really a spectator. You're just sitting back in your little wooden pew and you can't see anything when you're a little human. So take those kids to Mass. It doesn't matter any other looks anybody gives to you, and you sit your babies in that front row and you let your babies witness Jesus through the priest performing miracles. That is going to instill so many mustard seeds of faith that you don't even know. We really don't anymore. We talk about like, wow, your behavior was amazing at Mass. I'm so thankful that, oh, your sweet prayer hands and oh my goodness, when you came back after we received communion and you knelt in prayer, it just like made my mom heart swell. We still encourage that. When they were younger, we would reward them with something. And our priest in New York would actually process out and get a huge basket of gummies from Sam's Club, like the little packets. And he would hand them out to all the kids, like Grandpa, you know, Father Murray. And so when we moved, we would take something and leave it in my bag. And this is what you get after Mass, right? If you have great behavior after Mass, this is what you get. A few other things we do is when they were little, I would ask for help from a mother's helper. I would ask for people in our community at church. And that started out with me asking the priest in New York. I had learned that the Eucharist was true. I was wanting to go to confession. I wanted to go to confession weekly, but I had two kids, two and under. My husband was deployed. And so I just emailed the priest and I said, hey, I really want to receive the sacraments, but I'm really overwhelmed and I don't know how to do that with a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old. You know, I can't leave them to just run around in the church while I go to confession for, you know, possibly 5 to 10 minutes. So what am I supposed to do? And the priest enlisted a bunch of nuns and he had them come every Saturday. And they started coming with coloring books and they walked around and bring me food, some Indian food she would cook so that I would have meals. I don't want to cry. So I would have meals. You know, like we complain so much about our burdens, but we don't really take any steps to let the Lord work through those burdens. So if you have a burden and you feel like nobody's helping me, are you asking? Ask. I know for a fact if another mother said to me that her husband's deployed or her husband's out of town this week, or, you know, my husband's home with one sick kid and I'm struggling, what can I do? Girl, you better believe I will march into that Mass and I will co-parent with you in that pew. And my kids will help. And there are people out there who want to help, but maybe don't want to feel like they're overreaching. There are also teenagers who have a nurturing motherly spirit and who want to help. You know, they're the ones that want to learn how to babysit, but maybe they're not old enough to babysit yet. Ask if they can sit next to you at Mass. That is such a wonderful spiritual mothering experience that I think honestly a lot more young people need. So ask for help. Maybe there's a mother's group at your church. Maybe you have a babysitter who is Catholic. We always try to make sure that ours are Catholic because they have to pray with our kids at night. Ask them if they'll come along. Maybe you have a friend who has older kids and so she's not struggling at Mass. Ask her if you can borrow a kid. You know, there is so many things we can do really to lessen our burdens, but we have to have the humility to ask for help. And we have to set aside our pride of what if someone says no. If they say no, they say no. Ask somebody else.
There are people at your parish. And you can reach out to the priest. You can reach out to staff at the church and just say, like, hey, I'm really overwhelmed. Maybe I'm alone. Or maybe, you know, we're just really struggling spiritually a little bit. And me and my husband feel really overwhelmed with 5 kids, 5 and under, whatever your circumstances is. Do you have any way to have maybe a mother's helper or a family that you know that might be willing to help or something like that? Ask, guys, ask. Okay. Last thing is make it so that Mass is not just the thought for the 1 hour of the week or the 30 minutes you're getting ready for Mass, right? Mass needs to be the center of our week, like the culmination. Just like when birthdays come around, we have this celebration. My kids talk about their birthday year round, and they talk about what they want for their birthday, and they talk about what kind of cake they want, and they all of these things. But if they just woke up one day and it was like, it's your birthday today, then it wouldn't feel that special because there's not that anticipation. So a few things we've done in the past are read books about the Mass at home. We watch Markham. It's like Catholic Blippi. We don't really do that anymore, but it's nice. He does like sanctuary tours and different things about explaining different parts about the church, kind of like how Blippi does, but it's Catholic. And another thing that really, really was awesome was Brother Francis. Brother Francis is on the Formed app, which you can usually get for free through your church. Your parish will have like a code and you get formed for free. But we bought a bunch of the DVDs and I would put them in the minivan. And so I would make it so that they couldn't watch anything unless it was faithful or educational in nature when we were in the car. And that was awesome because there's full-on ones about Advent, Nativity, Easter, Stations of the Cross that are not like super gruesome for kids. There's ones about the Mass, ones about the Eucharist, ones about confession. And it was just, it made these things tangible that then they're seeing it on Brother Francis and then they go to Mass and they're seeing the priest do it. And it's like, oh yeah, I remember why. You know what I mean? How many times even as adults, it wasn't until I read the book, The Mass by Dr. Ed Srie, that I even got it. Like I didn't know why we were doing XYZ. Father, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. I didn't realize that was like from a biblical story, you know, Lamb of God. I didn't understand why we said Lamb of God. I didn't understand why we repeated things three times. Holy, 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 Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Like, I didn't understand those things. And so if you have no context, it can seem pointless when it's a struggle, but if you have context, and so these little kiddos can get these little kiddo context by watching things like Markham and Brother Francis or any of the other, you know, I'm sure Formed has some shows or the content on Hallow, Saints Alive, because, you know, a lot of those saints talk about going to the Mass and how it changed their life. Saints Alive is a podcast. It's also on Hallow. I have a link for Hallow if you need it. I think you get three months free and 20% off for a full year. Homilies by Father Mike, the Mass prep for kids. All these things are just going to prepare their little hearts for the culmination that is the Mass. So if you have any other tips, any other ideas that I should share with other families that I can put in the little email in resources, then email me. It is holyhotmessmom@gmail.com. You can go to Instagram, DM me, whatever it is. Let me know if you liked the episode. Definitely go give the pod a 5-star rating and review because that helps the little algorithm. And screenshot, share to your Instagram. Hey, I'm listening to this today and it was great. Whatever you can do, share, get the word out. We also still have our Patreon up and we have our monthly Zoom calls and you get the unedited interviews. You can donate to the pod on Venmo. Link is in the bio and we are accepting sponsors. So that link is also in the show notes. It's been real fun talking to you guys. It's a little windy out here. I have to go edit this and get it posted in the next 22 minutes. And I will see you guys next week.